This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, St. Eubus Cathedral back in Louisiana is closed. It's shuttered. It is vacant this morning. We have brought our outdoor show to downtown Palco, Kansas. Welcome aboard, and as advertised last week, our co-host, our daughter number one, Cherie, is joining us now. And Cherie, you are officially a resident of Kansas now.
Came in about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, now we got you where we can actually hear you.
Yep, so been living in the great state of Kansas for about 6 weeks now, permanently. Driver's license official about 2 weeks ago. So we are residents of Palco, Kansas, Rooks County.
Well, you got to do some turkey hunting. That was your first turkey hunt, huh?
Actually, yes. That's the first turkey hunt that I've ever been on. You know, my belief has been that you've had to be too quiet and much too still. And actually, sitting there, taking in the scenery, and the intensity of watching those birds begin to approach you, definitely well worth it.
It's addictive, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And I think we may have recruited one more hunter.
Well, it didn't have the very happy ending we had hoped for, but I think we got a lot more out of it than just bringing a dead bird home. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The time well spent out in the field together. And then again, man, the intensity as those birds approach, there's nothing like it.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about the turkey hunt later on, but we've got a lot of other things to cover. It's been busy things happening back home in Louisiana. We had some boaters struck by lightning a little bit south of Venice. We'll talk about that. And this is really a weird story. The first ever bear attack fatality in Florida. And there's some clues and missing pieces and parts. We'll try to figure out what actually happened, as will the Florida Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. All right, Red Snapper opened up with big success last weekend. I understand the weather has not been very good for getting out and doing any fishing in Louisiana along the Gulf Coast this week, but we'll talk more about that. We had a very successful episode of Bayou Wild TV that was captured out there fishing in the Red Snapper zones of the Gulf of America. Well, we'll talk more about that. Also, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. We had a guy got an early start on Red Snapper season. We'll tell you what the price will be that he'll have to pay for that. And speaking of the TV show Bayou Wild, we've got a special treat airing this week for you veteran Outdoors with Don Dubuque radio show listeners, and I'll tell you about that. You'll certainly be interested and tuned in to watch that. Also, we got a new fishing spot coming to Lake Pontchartrain anglers. It's called the Goose Point Fishing Reef, compliments of Louisiana CCA's Reef Louisiana program and some very generous sponsors, and we'll talk more about that. All right, hadn't been easy to get weather reports up here for the Gulf Coast, but from what I'm looking at, looks like those northwest winds are going to persist in the Gulf, 10 to 15 speed and 2 to 4 foot seas. They'll subside a little bit tomorrow, north 10 to 15. Maybe dropping even 5 to 10 tomorrow with 2 to 3 foot seas. Not the best kind of forecast, but certainly doable for red snapper fishing. On the interior today, north wind, that's a little unusual for this time of the year, 10 to 15 with a light chop. And tomorrow, north and southwest winds, 5 to 10. Again, that light chop will pursue. I'm glad to see the Mississippi River level is dropping. 15.4, looks like we will not have a major spillway opening. Got a little bit of pesky rain looking at the radar down there. Oh boy, our friends in Alabama are getting hammered right now. But Louisiana, it's pretty much over except for some light rain in spots, and that system will be moving on through later today. All right, the stage is set. We're here in Palco, Kansas, where you're listening to the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we welcome you to Campos Marina. We bring in Robbie Campo. And Robbie, say hello to my oldest daughter, Cherie, who is now a confirmed turkey hunter. Cherie, this is Robbie Campo, another very serious turkey hunter.
Oh, well, good
he
morning,
travels
Robbie.
Even further than I do to try to kill a turkey.
Yeah, I'll drive anyway. I just gotta say when and where. But yes, congratulations on the turkey, on doing your turkey thing and getting into the sport. It's fun, man. I tell you, you know, to have a turkey gobble in your face is, there's no other rush in the world better than that. But I tell you, Don, the other rush is these fish are biting, man. This speckled trout bite is on, you know, at every community hole that's out there, and from the Long Rocks to, you know, to all these little wells in the Sound. It's just been a spectacular week, man. Even Lake Bourne here on the eastern shoreline, from Shell Beach, you know, going around to the eastern shoreline, it's been great. It's been some great fishing. I tell you, it's just a phenomenal week. Yesterday they did very well. The boats that got out yesterday morning did really well. I'm still wondering what's going to happen this morning a little bit. We got a northwest wind here blowing anywhere from 10 to 15, which is kind of strange for this time of the year. But, hey, it's here. We just, you know, it's the hand that we're dealt, and we're just going to have to deal with it. I think this is, from looking at the radar, that this is probably the last of it. But, you know, it's still a little misty here, not drizzling, but it's still a little bit of mist in the air. So, maybe this is about to move on out, and, you know, maybe some people could come down and get some fishing done. Live bait, no problem. We got plenty of it. So if you come down and you're wondering if we're going to run out, that answer is no, we got plenty. So we got all the bait you want. So if you're coming down to St. Bernard Parish, hook the left at the bridge, you know, we're down here and we got plenty of it and wait for you. So, Don, I wanted to ask you something that I was told that, well, I got, somebody brought this to my attention earlier in the week. I do not know if this is true. No one has confirmed this yet, but somebody did say there's a bill about this, to keep one, to buy a tag to keep one bull redfish. I'm not sure if that's, if you had heard anything about this or not.
No, I'm not aware of it, but it's certainly a possibility. You know, other states do those type of things. But, you know, that kind of sounds like, I mean, if it's a conservation move, it's a conservation move. Why turn it into something to make money, you know, and allow something that you would go against what you did in order to promote conservation? I don't know. I don't understand it.
Well, me either. And I said, well, man, is this a money grab or is this, you know, because this tag, they say it like this tag's like $15 or something if this passes through legislation. But I said, well, this has got to be just a money grab. So, but, you know, or what it would allow you to do is to maybe be able to catch that trophy redfish that you always wanted, you know, something 35, 40 inches to mount to put on your wall. But the flip side of that is they fought so hard to not keep bulls. Why would you want to sell a tag to keep them now? So I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm going to have to dig into this a little bit further. I did hear this earlier in the week, and I wanted to bring this, you know, ask you if you had heard about it. If you didn't, well, maybe you could do a little bit digging on it.
Well, I can, and I will check the legislative batch of bills when I get back to my office Monday, and I'll also talk to the folks at CCA because I'm sure they've weighed in on it already and have an opinion on it, if, in fact, it is being brought through. But I'm like you, you know, to sell off something that you put in for conservation, I mean, you can still get the fish mounted, take pictures, accurate measurements. You get that to any good taxidermist, they'll do a fiberglass reproduction, which really is the best thing to do on a fish that size, because when you try to skin it and scale a fish like that, they just have that kind of rough look to them, where they're nice and smooth and repainted and pretty. If you do the fiberglass reproduction, would be the way to go. But anyway, we'll talk into it. Maybe some of our listeners can weigh in on our text line at 504-260-1870. Robbie, before you go, how are the sales coming for the Big Star tournament? Because we're getting close. It's time to get that ticket, because like you say, you don't want to be that guy that catches the winning fish and no tag.
Well, you know, Don, I haven't received Rad's sending my stuff down. I'm supposed to get all my stuff here Tuesday. You know, Rad Trash has got a lot on his plate right now. He's, you know, he's playing executive director. He's North Star Tournament. The man's got his plate full. So I'm supposed to be getting my stuff here. But everyone that's asked about it so far, you know, I just told them to go online and get it. So, you know, but everybody is gearing up for this thing. This is about to start here on Memorial Day weekend. So get your Star Tournament ticket and get your CETO membership renewed. If you didn't, you know, two good things to have in a boat with you way out there, because you might catch that tag redfish, or you might break down and you may need these guys. So you never know. So get that done. And like I said, if you want some bait this morning and you're worried about it, don't worry. Come on down. We got all you want.
All right. Sounds good, Robbie. Thank you for the report, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll talk more about that, Bill.
Yes, sir. Go shoot a turkey in the face. Talk to you guys later.
All right. There you go. I'll have to show you some of his pictures, Cherie. He's been to Florida. He shoots the Osceola. He went out and shot Rios. He went, you know, and he goes up to Kentucky and he hunts up there. He gets around.
Well, maybe he could pass along some tips, since we won't have our expert guide here with us there after you leave today.
All right. Now, I just got our friend Darryl Carpenter, you know Captain Darryl. He sent me a copy of that bill, so we will have some information discussed, and we'll talk to him about it coming up in just a few minutes. Stick around. You're listening to From Palco, Kansas, The Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio Network. All right, along with us this morning, our co-host, Cherie Dubuque, my eldest daughter. She's with us here in Palco, Kansas. She's a new what is it called, Kansian? Is it Kansians? Kansans?
I think it's just Kansan.
Kansans, huh? Okay, well, you are now one of those. All right, let's get to our text messages. Who are we hearing from this morning?
Well, from 1102, we just got good morning, Don Dubuque. And then from some of our longtime listeners, I had a friend who was from Kansas. He said there's nothing in Kansas. He said his dog ran away, and 2 weeks later, he could still see him running. Great to hear my favorite co-host. Thank you, Worm. That's from the Worm.
The Worm, yeah. He said even the dog ran away. I don't know about there's nothing. Well, I guess if you're not an outdoors person or an agriculture enthusiast, maybe there's not a lot for you to do in Kansas.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think one of the other things is that Kansas like to keep this area a secret, yeah, you know? Yeah. We didn't just dive into Kansas. We've been here, had this place for a couple of years, and the community here in Palco has been absolutely wonderful to us. But yeah, there are a lot of hidden gems. We've mm-hmm. told you about all the different activities. Been a yep. Pheasants Forever event since we've already been here. They did something with prairie chickens, allowing you to go out to the plains to see prairie chickens. And it's not just outdoor things. You know, we have an OmniMax hidden theater here in little Palco. And so I think that's one of the things is it's one of those states people refer to as a flyover, because when you get the right connections, it's amazing the things that are going on in the community.
And your new dream home is going to be constructed on your 160 acres, which we hunted the turkeys on, and there's pheasants and quail, and your dogs can get out and stretch their legs. And, you know, it's a lot of things here to do in Kansas. You know, they got the famous Handlebar restaurant.
Yes.
I mean, if you ever come to Plainville, you need to stop there.
Yes. It has only been open for a couple of years, but phenomenal food in the small town of Plainville. You know, just to give you some reference, Palco itself, we have 203, I guess maybe now 205 residents since Blake and I are here. But yeah, we're enjoying it.
All right, well, before you get to some more texts, and please, if you want to text us with your comments, your questions, your reports, it's 504-260-1870. But I wanted to go over this copy of this proposed bill that is in the legislature. It was by Representative Ogeron, who has done a lot of work with the Coastal Conservation Association and the pogie boat issue. This one, and Robbie was pretty much on target. What it would do, it would allow the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to make up rules and regulations to put in a program where you can purchase a tag, which would allow you to kill a redfish over the 27-inch limit. A lot of you know it was always you could keep one over 27. The new regulations did away with that. This program would bring it back, but the number of tags would depend on the health of the population in specific designated areas, which I think could get a little complicated, particularly on the enforcement about exactly what zone was the fish caught and was the tag proper one for that area. Tags would be $25 a piece in addition to your license fee, and the money collected from that fee would be used to administer the program, and any remaining funds would be deposited into the Marine Finfish Stock Enhancement Fund. So, yes, it is a partial money grab. My question is, if we need these regulations, why do we allow for the cost of $25 somebody to violate those rules? Or not violate, but go against them. And that would be a good kicker to put in there as far as, you know, it could only be done in certain areas by the population. But do we really know specific areas? Say, well, this little area you can get the tag because there's plenty of bull redfish, or this one you can't. I don't know. I'd have to do a little bit more research and study, but so far I don't think I'd be for that. How do you feel about it? 504-260-187 if you want to weigh in. We'll talk more with Darryl because he stays on top of that stuff, being he's one of the Charter Boat Association members. All right, what other text do we have coming in?
So we have Morning Don, backstrap stacker checking in from Soggy Mobile. Was going to start my protein feeding for deer this weekend, but it's too wet. Great day to sleep in. Y'all have a great day. Good to hear Sheree on the air with you.
All right. That's from our good friend, the backstrap stacker. Yeah, Mobile was getting hammered early this morning.
And then we have working on turkey calls. No surprise there. Wingbone says it's raining where he is, too. And I have to tell you, that is actually a beautiful turkey call. The detail on that, Janice is a very lucky lady to have one of those.
There's not a whole lot of us that got them. Robbie got one, Robbie Campo, my nephew Drew, who won the Louisiana Youth Hunter of the Year, and he got it for killing his turkey, and he got a call, and I've got one, and Wingbone does an excellent job. He's a real craftsman putting those together.
Yes, and then we have a message from David Hubble. Good morning, Don. Welcome back, Sheree. Thank you, David. I can definitely attest to the extreme rainy weather in Mobile yesterday evening and this morning. I also wanted to congratulate my oldest daughter, David's daughter number one, Nicole, on graduating from the University of South Alabama yesterday. Good luck to her and all the 2025 graduates, and good luck to you both on your Kansas hunt. Also, happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Yeah, maybe there'll be some moms getting treated out to fishing trips. All right, when we come back after this, we get to some more of your text messages. We're also going to talk about the, and I don't have a lot of information because I'm being up here and being out in the turkey woods and sketchy service and that kind of thing. You don't get to see much news. Lightning struck three Venice boaters this week, and conditions range from moderate to minor, I think, and maybe we'll have some more information on that. And this from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission. They sent me some information about the first ever bear attack fatality that occurred in Collier County, Florida. We'll talk about that and black bears, and maybe we've done too good a job of bringing black bears back. We're back with more. You're listening to From Palco, Kansas this morning, The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Network. Well, you know, they say lightning strikes are rare, but when they do occur, they certainly make the news, and we heard about it up here in Venice, Louisiana. Those of you familiar with the Venice area, there's a place called The Jump, which is a very heavily trafficked area for commercial and recreational boaters, and about a half mile south of what's known as The Jump in Venice, Louisiana, in the Mississippi River on this past Wednesday, a boat carrying three passengers was struck by lightning. The conditions of those in the boat were said to be from minor. They range from minor to moderate injuries, and no names or anything else was released. So hopefully there won't be any serious repercussions from that. But you got to be careful because lightning can hit even sometimes away from storms, and certainly nothing to play with. All right, we're going to take a quick station identification pause. When we come back, we'll get to your text messages and also talk about that first ever bear attack, a fatality. Bears actually killed a man in Florida in Collier County. We'll be doing that right after we let our local stations identify themselves along The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, Sheree, we got some more texts coming in?
Yeah, so from 90... From 9830, we had a question. Any update on the recent oil spill off the coastline of Louisiana, and what was the impact on the fisheries? So it sounds like back on April 26th, there was an 82-year-old well that wasn't capped, plugged, with the thought that they might eventually bring it back. There was an oil leak there. They got it under control, the Coast Guard, on May the 4th. So far, 71,000 barrels of water oil mixture have been recovered. Booms are out. Mm-hmm. There is some concern that it might have gone into protected areas, but the impacts are still being assessed at this time.
All right. So you are a veteran of the oil and gas industry, and you've been involved in a lot of cleanups and accidents and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think some of these smaller companies, this particular well was owned by Spectrum Opco. You know, sometimes these groups don't have the finances. They fly a little bit under the radar. You know, big oil and gas are so much in the spotlight that their approach is a bit different. So it'll be interesting to see during the or the outcome of the investigation what preventative maintenance measures were being taken and monitored on this particular well, given its age.
All right. So your career was in the oil and gas industry as an engineer. What did you move to now? You're in a different occupation.
I am. I'm learning all about the aerospace industry and commercial air. So the company that I work for manufactures very, very unique parts for aircraft. Did some work for SpaceX, which everybody's familiar with, and continues to do that. So it's a very interesting as design in aircraft continues to change with a bit of a green approach, recycled materials, making planes lighter, utilization of less fuel. Very, very interesting manufacturing organization.
All right. Back to our text board.
So
where did we leave off?
Yeah, we got to find. Old Man Sam took a look to see, but he couldn't find that legislation. So maybe this is breaking stuff. It'll be good for us to get an update from Daryl. Good morning from Ohio, where you can see the next town over 7 miles away. Happy Mother's Day, y'all. Is flounder on the menu? So one of the things is yeah, we're accustomed to that. DeMar is 4 miles. And Plainville about 14, and you can absolutely see the lights from where it is that we're located.
Well, what I like about the turkey hunting up here, we could see those birds. How far away were that? Quarter mile? We
yes.
could see the birds and, you know, watch them approaching. We're back home. If you see, you know, a quarter acre, you know, you're lucky. It's so thick. So it's a much different terrain, but different but pleasant.
Yes. So, 0313 messaged in, if we have rules and went through all this trouble to get there, why ignore them due to money? And then
That's in regard to the redfish.
To the redfish.
For the big ones to
yes,
be able to
yes.
kill and keep a big one. That makes sense.
And so another comment regarding the tags from 2141. Don, I'm opposed to the tag for an exemption redfish. This is a slap to the science. It smells as a carve-out to the special interest group, and that came from Doug.
Well, you know, Cherie, to tell us that is great, but, you know, we don't have anything to do with it. What Doug and everybody listening who shares his opinion or the opposite opinion needs to do is contact their legislator. Those are the people who are going to do the voting and make the decisions on these. So, Doug, I would strongly suggest if you're that opposed to it, let your legislator know.
Yeah, I think our voices have to be heard with our lawmakers, legislators, and get some, you know, influence the decisions that are made.
All right. All right. If you want to text us, it's 504-260-1870. We take discussions. We take comments. We take questions. And certainly your reports we can share with our other listeners. We're going to get to that bear story after we come out of the next break because that's pretty interesting. But I did want to mention something coming up on Bayou Wild TV. Last weekend when the Red Snapper season opened, we filmed an episode with two LSU Tigers. We do the Tigers in the Wild episodes. Ahmad Bro and Jacoby and Guillory, two very large defensive tackles for LSU, went aboard the Kemosabe with the Rainey family and our crew, Lance Burgess and Chris Lecoq, the photographer, and they slammed them. They had to hold up a little bit and delay because of the weather, got a little bit of a late start, but it didn't take them long, and the snapper, I am told, were very nice size, some really big red snapper, and I think pretty much everybody who gets out at this stage of the snapper season is sharing that same thing. Speaking about Bayou Wild TV, this week's episode, those of you who are regular, long-time listeners, you didn't forget him. You remember a guy, and Cherie, you remember Teofile Bourgeois.
Absolutely.
One of our more popular field reporters killed in a tragic plane crash flying his seaplane over Chandelier. We've got him doing his famous grilled redfish dish. That is our cooking feature on this week's Bayou Wild TV. If you haven't watched it yet, go to our website. You can find a station in your area that carries it. It's seen all across the Gulf Coast. And if that fails, YouTube. We have Bayou Wild YouTube channel. And check out this week's. It's also got some tips on the Star Tournament upcoming. And if you wonder how those redfish swimming around get those red tags in them, you'll find out. Watch this week's Bayou Wild TV. All right, we're coming back to talk about Florida's first ever bear attack fatality and a whole lot more that you and I love to talk about. From Palco, Kansas, it's The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition from Palco, Kansas. My co-host, who has been with me, Cherie, started producing this show back in the late 80s and has been off and on co-host over the years, and she's with us this morning here in Kansas, her new home. Cherie, black bears in Kansas, what do you know anything about the population? Are they common? Do they have any at all?
I haven't heard anything. And, you know, with all the ranchers here, I would think if they're common, that would be something that we'd talk about, like the coyotes. Mm-hmm. So that's something I'm going to have to look up. But I'm not familiar with us having any significant or reasonable population.
I don't think the habitat is suitable. They just don't have enough woods for the bears.
Yes.
Because, you know, the bear's got to do his thing in the woods, right?
Right.
The whales say him go. All right. Well, here's what happened in Florida. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission sent me this. And the kind of the history of the black bear, you know, in Louisiana, we have brought the black bear back from near extinction to the point where we actually had the first limited hunting season this year in order to control these bears. And this incident probably speaks a lot for having to manage to control the bears, because when they get into too many neighborhoods, come in close contact with humans. This happened in Jerome, Florida, which is in the South Bear Management. They estimated back in 2015, I guess that's the latest research they've got, that there was 1,044 bears. It's the third largest population of bears in the state. As far as bear and human encounters, it's rare for people to be injured, but they have had people bitten and scratched, usually when there's cubs, food, or dogs present, and that's an issue in this case. But they get an average of 6,300 bear-related calls each year and document 42 prior incidents where there was physical contact between black bears and humans. This particular case has got some missing pieces to it, but basically what happened was they found the remains of an 89-year-old man, Robert Markle. They found it 100 yards from his house. The investigators found these things: evidence that indicated a physical encounter between a bear and a person near his house. They found a dog that had been killed by a bear in close proximity to the body of the human. And they also found signs that a bear had entered the house itself. So a lot of possibilities here. Did the confrontation start between the dog and the bear and extended to the person? Was he trying to get the dog in the house and the bear was behind it and came in and they left and the bear followed him and killed him? But it'll probably, there'll be several scenarios that could be possibilities. But they have found this to for sure, that they have done some DNA testing. They've actually went out and killed three bears. I don't know if in Florida they do like here in Louisiana, but ours have radio telemetry collars on that. Most, unless they've been bred and not captured and tagged, they're easy to track. You can take a GPS, and they've got tracking devices, so you can go find them. Well, immediately after this happened, they killed three adult bears. One was 207 pounds, one was 263, and one was 434. They tried to catch a fourth bear, but it failed. They collected DNA evidence, and here's what they found. They found that one bear, the 263-pound one, had the partial remains of Markle in it. They also found that the 263-pound one, his DNA was on Markle's body, so it's pretty obvious there was contact there. All three bears were tested for rabies. It was negative. You know, there's still ongoing investigation to is trying to piece this puzzle together with DNA samples that they found on the body of the person and matching on the deer. And in the home, how did it get in the home? Did the bear break in and the dog tried to defend the owner and was killed as they were trying to escape. A lot of variables that could happen. But anyway, that's quite a story. First time that has ever happened, and that is in Collier County in Florida. And I don't know, again, if they have a hunting season to control them or not. All right, let's go back to the text board, 504-260-1870.
So I think this may be an idea for an upcoming or future show or Bayou Wild. This is very interesting to think about this. So it says, what's neat to remember is that all your captains also highly skilled and successful businessmen. Can you ask them sometime what they feel brought them success? Warren Buffett said, focus, eager to hear their stories. That's from 3751.
Yeah, that's a very good question to bring up, and maybe we'll do that next week. We'll start asking them that question. You know, I've always had, and you've read it because I wrote a memoir and you read it, and my thing was hard work and clear thinking. That's the two things that whatever success I've enjoyed, I would attribute it to. And Warren Buffett says, focus. What does Daryl Carpenter and Mike Gallo and Ryan Lambert and those guys say? We'll find out from them. Maybe we'll throw that out next week.
Yeah. We talk to them all the time about their passion for the outdoors, and they're fun guys to be around, yeah, enjoy spending time. But I've never thought about those guys being successful businessmen, and that they absolutely are.
All right. We also have another one. Somebody had breakfast with their daughter this week.
Yep, Ben from Mississippi. Good morning, Don. I had breakfast with my daughter this week. I always appreciate the time with her. And that's what I tell folks when they say about hunting with your dad. I just tell them that's our thing.
Hey, that's all we got is time spent together. All right, we're going to get back to some more of your text, 504-260-1870. Captain Daryl Carpenter's up. He's got a quick Grand Isle report. And we're also going to discuss what his thoughts are on the state of Louisiana being able to sell tags for $25 to allow you to go against the normal conservation rules and on bull redfish and kill and keep one by purchasing a $25 tag. What do you think? 504-260-1870. Back right after this. You're listening to The Outdoor Show from Palco, Kansas. All right, before we bring Captain Daryl Carpenter in to comment on this bill, House Bill 604, which hasn't gotten a lot of notoriety, but it's we're talking about it this morning, and it's a bill that would allow the purchase of a tag for $25 to kill one bull redfish over 27 inches, which would be illegal under normal regulations. Sheree, you got a couple of comments on it?
Yeah, so I wouldn't pay an additional $25 for a redfish. This is Louisiana politics at its best to grab more money. And then they asked a question about the waterfowl season for 2026. Yep, we'll get back to that. Bill 604 is the oversized redfish tag bill. If it passes, it should pass with a $250 price tag. If it's a money grab, let's make sure enough money grab. Old man Sam. So Sam must have looked it up and, you know, is making some comments. So lots of feedback on this morning.
All right, let's get Daryl in. And Daryl, thank you for looking up the bill on short notice and sending it here because I was totally unaware of it. What are your thoughts on it initially?
Well, my initial thoughts are, Don, I can't say that if I was on the Natural Resource Committee, I'd vote for it. I don't see the need for it. We took years and months to pass the redfish regulations as they are. Millions of dollars have been spent fighting the pogie industry, you know, to try to restrict them, and then we're going to do something like this. It just doesn't look good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it progresses. I mean, the way it's written, and, you know, Joe Ogeron, who was the author of it, you know, it looks like it was carefully worded to limit the amount of these permits that could be sold and only in areas where the redfish population would withstand it. I think that would give the Wildlife and Fisheries Department a lot more work, and they certainly don't need any more work to do that. And, you know, and for people not familiar with bull redfish, the reason why, I mean, they're the brood stock. They are the future of the species. And for the size of them, they're the worst ones to eat. They're, you know, so it's strictly looking for a trophy fish. But, you know, with fiberglass reproductions from photographs and measurements, that's all taken care of nowadays.
Well, Don, the thing is, you know, when the trout regulations were being considered, we asked for basin-specific regulations. And right. I'm curious to see where the department's going to stand on this, because the department was very adamant. They didn't feel like L.A. Creel was good enough to do basin-specific regulations. So I'm really curious to see where the department's going to be on this.
Well, we'll stay on and we'll continue to discuss it until it either is defeated or if it continues to proceed through the legislature. More importantly, immediate matters. How's the fishing been in Grand Isle this week? Robbie said it was off the charts down on the east side.
Well, ours is starting to get a little bit better, Don. You know, we're usually the highlight of the state whenever it comes to springtime trout fishing, but this Mississippi River flood has just been giving us hockey sticks, let me tell you. It's been tough. I mean, most days you can go out, and if you burn enough gas and burn enough time, you can put a box together because you can find pockets of clean water. But that's all you're seeing is pockets of clean water, and they move around depending on the currents and the winds. So it's been a little bit tough. That river's starting to come down. It's getting to where we can find a little more clean water. And look, when we do, it's the same story as last year. It's big, nice trout. We're starting to average, on average, about two flounder a trip. So our flounder are definitely making a comeback. You know, it's been a rough spring for us compared to what we're used to. But it's starting to get better. We just got to get these fronts out of here and let this wind die down. Because like this morning, it's humping out of the northeast here this morning.
Yeah, so it looks like the offshore stuff is going to be a little slow. What kind of snapper came into Grand Isle this opening week?
Well, I heard, you know, everything I got from the fillets that I got donated to this cause, they were all large and they were plentiful. And, you know, a lot of it's been because there hasn't been a lot of pressure on them. I mean, it's been so rough and the weather's been so unpredictable that even the folks in the big boats, even the ones with the triple engines are coming back saying, man, we got our butts kicked coming back and we're soaking wet, you know. So, yeah. You know, it's been, we're going to have a late year. Now, what we're hearing a lot of complaints about is the closing of the amberjack season, you know, with, of course, same things because they refused to do regional management in the Gulf. Florida's done caught all the amberjack before our weather calms down to where we can get there, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, issues. We got to deal with them the best we can. Well, Darryl, listen, thanks for the report, and thanks for digging up that bill on short notice for us. And, you know, if you find out anything else on it as far as its status, we'll probably talk about it again next week. In the meantime, if somebody wants to come fish Grand Isle with realscreamers.com, tell them how to get you on, besides my website.
Well, right, Don. Listed on yours, plus they can look up realscreamers.com, or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288, and I would be remiss to say good morning, Sheree.
Hey, good morning.
Still looking for a cobia, aren't we?
Yep, but still one of my favorite guys, Darryl Carpenter.
Yes, he is. All right, Darryl, have a good weekend, my friend. We'll see you next time.
You too, Don. Hey, y'all, and happy Mother's Day, Sheree.
Thank you.
All righty. When we come back after this, more fishing reports, more info, bad boys of the outdoors, stuff we love to talk about. Stick with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.